Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So we've been blessed here at RBC with God's provision of very good teachings, humbling reminders of familiar sins. I believe it's not vega bueno tika maganizira respectable sins as majimo ajizoloezi njije, right? Kuti majimo mene tinawa zoloera. Odi mpaka nantuma ziya to see mata kwaona tikujimo, right? Because we're very comfortable with the sins. When the noise of envy, jealousy, competitiveness, and controllingness fill our minds, we don't see God's goodness. We don't see God's provision. In fact, we challenge God's sovereignty. Acts 5:39 reads, "But if it is from God, you'll not be able to stop these men. You only find yourselves fighting against God." In this verse in Acts, we see the apostles arrested by the Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, because they were jealous of their growing influence. But are those words ringing in your head? You find yourselves fighting against God. My brothers, my sisters, how often do you fight against God because of envy? When was the last time you confessed about envy? To make it more vivid, ndilizori mene magumbugira, munalua ujibinda kwanu, muna tseka jitsego, muna gwadabasi, nipo muna bempera, kuda ambuya ukulu gireni, chifuga mabanga sanje kabina kaduga. You realize that this is one sin we hardly ever confess about. Yet, we're not immune. We continuously, consistently are envious. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for everyone who is here and those that are still on their way. Please help me get out of my own head so I can communicate your message well and ready the minds and hearts of your church to hear your teaching and reminders. Bless our time together. We make this our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we continue this respectable sin series, today we'll be reflecting on envy, jealousy, and associated sins of competitiveness and controllingness. And yes, I did not make up controllingness. It's a word that exists. You can Google to confirm that. But to start the story, ndiwangono, ndinkakonda kupanga reflecti kusilira zinzanga mene amajogera mabanja OGW, right? So rich families. And I would wonder why God could not make my parents rich to provide for what I thought were very nice things. Or why I wasn't born in that family or the other family because I thought they are well off. I think time many jingle sangas of one minute BMX, eh? Then Makandu see their BMX. My mom had a friend who was a career woman, very successful, made a lot of money. And one time I went to my mom because my mother used to be a teacher, which is a humble profession, but it's not amplified as any other career. Ndendi na afu so dikodi mama nzano jasuma silira. Nde ana ndiyanga kuda kusilira ndikusayamika ndilibe ndrama zambili koma ndilibanja la ntendele. Of course I was very young at that point. I didn't understand what she was saying. I just thought ndiyanga. I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, have gone through such comparisons where you feel your life is less than, or you feel unsatisfied with your circumstances. But in this moment, as you're sitting today, what are you envious about? No one can claim that they don't struggle with envy. If at all, what you're saying is you have not recognized that you struggle with envy, because no one is immune to this. As long as you can draw comparisons between something with someone else, you are on that sliding scale. Let that sink in, because unlike anger, someone can say, "I know, I don't struggle with anger." What we're talking about in terms of anger is my outburst anger, excessive anger. Everybody gets angry, and one can say, "No. I think nimataugia, but I exercise self control." Koma envy, I don't think there's anyone who can convince anyone that they are immune and they don't struggle with it. And here's the danger: you can be an active church member. You can be serving. You can tick all the right Christian boxes, yet you harbor enough envy in your heart to condemn your own soul. My first experience in the Reformed Baptist Church was very flamboyant, and I'm using flamboyant in a very colloquial manner. The first Sunday I attended church had a church discipline issue. So unlike what Pastor Newton does here, where he asks the non-members to leave, there they just ripped the bandage off. So while we're sitting in there, they brought a church discipline issue, and the issue was to do with a woman who apparently could not stop gossiping. So the elders explained that they've been walking the journey of counseling her for 2 years, but she remains unrepentant and she still gossips. And I thought, how much gossip should one do? And why can't she just stop for it to become a church discipline issue? But if you think of it, the bottom line is we gossip because we are envious and want someone to look bad. If not, we gossip because we want to amplify someone's bad fortune. That brings us joy when someone goes through misfortune. And I'm sure everyone can relate to that. And already that's a trigger. You know what's coming is gossip. A few weeks back, there was a headline that said we now have a trillionaire on earth. And this trillionaire was born in Africa, made his money in America. I'm sure you can guess who that is. For some people who are billionaires, that is a cause to be envious. Kumano inyondineo, why would we envy that? We can't even relate. Eh? So maybe let's come to a definition of what envy is. So Jerry Bridges, in his book, defines envy as a painful and oftentimes resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by someone else. And as we go along, envy will become more clearer and clearer as we differentiate it from what jealousy is. Proverbs 14:30 reads, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." And in this scenario, we're not reflecting on a dead man whose bones are rotting. We're talking about you and me who are still alive, yet because of envy, our bones are rotting. So you can just look at that graphical picture that you are rotting from the inside while alive, simply because envy is chewing you up. So how do we experience envy? We resent others for having some advantage that we thought they don't deserve or should be ours. Sometimes we want that same advantage, leading to a further sin of covetousness. And sometimes we just resent the other person for having something we don't have. So it's very simple. It starts with comparison. You observe what others have, their success, their relationships, or their peace, and start using their lives as a yardstick measure to compare with your own life. Then desire kicks in. The focus shifts from merely noticing or coveting to coveting. You begin to want what they possess more than what God has entrusted to you. Finally, it matures into resentment. You start to feel that they are undeserving and that you are entitled to a better life. In its worst form, envy makes you rejoice when others weep and weep when others rejoice. We all have experienced, if not said, some of these words. And someone may ask you, "Munayamba najani?" Then you may say, "Kwani ngati majeza? Kama ngo ninyasa." Then you may continue to say, "Kama dzifira, amaona ngati fadzo ninkazo wa diko ni endi doro." Then someone may come to you and say, "Adaja ndazoba, musaone chonchija. Ama dzifira chifwa kwa kuli dola." Again, you are envious of something that someone has that you do not have. These are expressions of resentment that grow over something one has that we don't have. And if you don't know, that is envy in action. But we just don't envy people in general. Usually, there are two conditions. We tend to envy those with whom we mostly closely identify. Second, we tend to envy them in areas that we value the most. So you imagine your funny wife, they only humanity magisilia one bid. That is why, like I said, it's difficult for us to envy Elon Musk because we cannot even compare. We can't even begin. Or at least I cannot. But parents may envy other parents whose children are better at something. Teenagers may envy other teenagers who they think are cool or they dress better than them. We may envy people who have a nicer home or what we believe to be a nicer life or make more money than we do. The possibilities of envy are endless. We may not even want the advantage. We just don't want someone else to have it. This is the Tonse Tiluze attitude that most of Malawians chronically suffer from. Instead of promoting a fellow Malawian, what we do or what we say is tonse diluze agaipula adzazifira. Remember the story of the two ladies that went before King Solomon concerning a baby. The story culminates in the famous test of King Solomon's wisdom in 1 Kings 3. But look at the envy that engulfs it all. Driven by envy, the one woman preferred that the child rather die than see the real mother keep the baby. Do you see how envy tears lives apart? And this is how typically Malawians behave. Malomotuina, a kind of advantage of that kugula moyo, we pull them down. But when we are tempted to envy, we should realize that envy, though it may be a subtle and seemingly minor sin to us, it is listed among the vow sins that Paul catalogues in Romans 1:29 and Galatians 5:21. In Romans 1:29, we are exposed to the devastating reality of a society that has rejected God. When humanity suppresses the truth, and they are filled with every kind of wickedness one can imagine. The 29 reads, they are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Socrates, one of the Greek philosophers, said that envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, the begetter of secret sedition, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. Envy is a filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison, a quicksilver, which consumeth the flesh and drieth up the bones. In Galatians 5:19-21, we see the ugly and self-destructive nature of the works of the flesh. And again, we've just reflected on society rejecting God. And if God is left out of the equation, there's nothing other than works of the flesh that is left. The verses in Galatians deal with sexual immorality, false religion, relational division, and self-indulgence. And we can categorize envy to fit in the relational division component of those verses. And Paul issues a sobering warning at the end of those verses. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is addressing an ongoing lifestyle of unrepentant habitual sin. And like I said, we envy every single day. Because we envy every single day, we need to watch it carefully because it may easily become an unrepentant habitual sin. But why are we saying envy is a sin? To begin with, envy is rejection of God's will. Envy stems from discontentment with one's own life and God's providence. Enati mabanga struggle ni meti maonegera masuka noguli marjan plastic surgery, where you want to fix yourself to look in a very different way, again showing that dissatisfaction towards God, reflecting that we are not content with what God provided in our lives. In essence, we are challenging God's wisdom on how he distributes gifts. Envy is the root of malice. So unlike greed or lust, which seek to acquire something for personal pleasure, envy specifically desires for someone else to lose what they have. So you may be envious and just simply want someone to lose a certain opportunity or a certain advantage that they have. And in some instances, you're not even interested in having that opportunity. Envy is the killer of love. At its core, envy reverses the Bible command to rejoice those who rejoice. It replaces love, which is meant to be selfless, with an agonizing focus of self. And envy is self-destructive. Philosophers and theologians alike observe that envy is the only unrewarding sin. While other sins offer temporary physical or emotional gratification, envy guarantees misery by forcing an individual to derive pain from the success of others. So you're either the one going through the misery or the other person from whom you wanted this misfortune or to take away this advantage is going through that misery. Where do you see examples of envy in the Bible? The scripture warns us that envy is not just a personal struggle. It is deeply damaging to our communities. I think in James 3, verse 16, we're reminded, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every vile practice. And we've already reflected on the vile practices in Romans 1, 29, as well as Galatians 5, 21. We see tragic results of envy throughout the Bible. It starts with the first murder, Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. Then we look at family division and betrayal. We see that with Joseph and his brothers in Genesis 37. Rachel and Leah in Genesis 30. The story of the older brother in Luke 15. Envy brings about rivalry. We see that with King Saul and David. Absalom and David in the book of Samuel. Ultimately, we come to the greatest tragedy in the world, where the religious leaders crucified or gave Jesus over to be crucified simply because they were envious of him. Envy creates a spirit of competition where there should be community. It drives us to downplay achievements of others or secretly wish for their downfall just to make ourselves feel better. Kukakala watu wuno, ndeti na mvagaliza eti ara, elia imde iet, envy ima ambisa ufiti. Tumabita kumangwa laji kuda, kukafuna kono nga moyo wanzatu, kaya amatu kika kapasule, kono nga jibale, kaya business yanzatu, ulimangwala ukawira, and the list goes on and on. We also ought to be very careful because envy is one area that we can be responsible for leading others into sin. When our actions and intentions are said to make others envious, kuliantu, amena mazuka mamawa, and the plan yao yose ndizi mene ama banga said kuda avange in a day, is kuti antu aone, ndipo antu akale envious. Asirire. You've heard people say, ababa ndendu funa a flashy wedding, aliesa dzwe kunda kwa dila nifana waluk sharp. So you are planning a very lavish wedding simply because you want to show off. I want to buy this car so everyone can see me and be envious. In fact, ntawoni murigari mora, I don't know ngalina nimuna yona, namba mreliyage and you envy me. So I'm not even sure if it's the same person. Kapena wina wage wa yanka. Fakuliso gamo dina yaji wili, namba mreliyage, you envy me too. So it could be a conversation going on. So living a life that shows off what God blessed you with, without putting our hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, as we are reminded in 1 Timothy 6:17, inevitably leads you and others to sin. Romans 1 verse 12 reads, though they knew God's righteous decree and that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. I want us to reflect on that for a bit. Every time we read this verse, do we understand that we are part of that approval system of someone doing those vile practices in the world? Let me paint a better picture. What do we do on social media? Half of the times we are liking. What are we liking? Are we not giving approval to those practiced vile things? Let that sink in. Are we not posting or displaying our lives for others to be envious? What is our intention when we post or when we like a post? So overall, you understand that at this particular point, there's a level of responsibility that we carry in how we conduct ourselves, in what we post, in what we like. Because we're either giving approval to people who are putting their lives on display for others to be envious, or we are putting our lives on display for others to be envious. But either way, we are contributing towards people sinning. Envy has a younger brother they call jealousy. And I know we use these words interchangeably, but they're very different. So to give a very simple distinction, envy is for something you don't have. Jealousy is for something you have. I think that's this summarized version of how you can differentiate the two words. So jealousy is fear of losing something that you already have. For example, your partner, your friend's attention, or a position at work. And then envy is desire for something that someone else has. So coveting a colleague's new car, a friend's lifestyle, or as the Bible warns us, somebody's wife. That's also a good example. Why do we become jealous? So we become jealous because we fear abandonment or rejection. So a simple example could be if your husband is leaving the house, or maybe let's use the wife. If your wife is leaving the house, I'll be at a baby shower. And baby shower, remember, 2 kolobo. So in that context, if a husband has an unhealthy obsessive possessiveness of the wife, they will be jealous that she's going to spend time with other people. Then there's resentment or anger. Sometimes we're jealous because we resent someone, and this resentment is a build up from wanting to only for this person to only have your attention and nobody else's attention. Then sometimes we're jealous because of our own insecurity, feelings of inadequacy. Where, for example, then you feel abodinend no kuda mina afuna no tsika na wera. But those are your own inadequacies, those are your own insecurities, and because of that you find that you are becoming jealous. Tikakhala again kumai kuno ATR azimai insanje timamva kuti abamona wana ajetsa kuti afate iye ayana ikambotolo ena fembotolo mundetu kusangalala musati masere. I'm sure you've heard of husbands who don't allow their wives to have friends. And I'm not talking male friends, I'm talking female friends. But simply because they're very possessive and they're very jealous, they don't want their wives giving attention to any other human being on earth. And again, that's a very negative example of jealousy. Let's look at an example closer to home. The case of Felix Angus versus Ezra Angus over the affections of one Chikondi Angus. So having a baby changes dynamics in the family. One partner may feel left out as the other partner focuses on the baby. So the other time, Felix Amanda and I would eat. I'm a muhoda Ezra. And I was like, yes, if you can fit here, maybe she can try. So again, that's just highlighting that sometimes you can get jealous over affections that we have and possibly are being given to another. But we should also appreciate that God created the heart to be dynamic enough to have enough love for everyone. But it's very important to be reminded that unlike envy, which is all bad, jealousy is not all bad. Can you please find me Exodus 25? Brother, please find me Exodus 34:14. And then Brother Nimon, you can find Deuteronomy 4:24. So Exodus 25. And then Brother Promise will get 34:14. And then Brother Nimon would get Deuteronomy 4:24. If you're good and ready, please read. Exodus 25. Exodus 20, verse 5. 20. Verse 5, yes.
Says, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord, your God, who am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me.
All right, Exodus 34:14.
In the first 14, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealousy.
And then finally, Deuteronomy 4:24.
For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God.
So we're reflecting on these verses in relation to the positive side of jealousy. Exodus 25, God warns us against worshiping idols. In 34:14, it emphasizes the unique characteristic of God, stating that He is a jealous God. And in Deuteronomy 4, it adds a vivid descriptor, noting that for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. In the Bible, God's jealousy is not a petty, insecure human emotion. Rather, it is a fierce, protective love for His people and a righteous demand for exclusive devotion. Because God created humanity for a relationship with Him, He is jealous when their love is given to lesser things. And I will repeat that, when their love is given to lesser things. So everything else that we love above and beyond God is unimportant. But The flip side of now bringing that closer to home in terms of our human relations. If another woman is making moves on your husband, you better let your husband know to stay away from her. And if she's persisting, keep her in check. That's the positive side of jealousy, because it triggers a protective emotion in you to make sure that you protect your relationships and you are watchful for interference. Jealousy, because you think you're not good enough, is basically you being insecure in God's provision. Everybody is beautiful. And if you're trusting in God's beautiful creation, one should not feel insecure because they think they don't look good enough. Others are simply jealous because of how others relate in church. Are some as well and deeper than my best friends, eh? Mona Minisana second dance. So closely allied with envy and jealousy is the spirit of competitiveness. Ariasari mwana kwa mamuzora zika number one. In fact, maybe most of us, if not some of us, magulata ruzi zako diyo unklasa makana number one in tali zose. And I remember when I go school, magamba and dad zinzanga. Udi abamanga makana number one. Abamanga makana number one. Then I thought, ah, then makana number two done. But that's the spirit of competitiveness. And there's nothing wrong with healthy competition. But one cannot obsess and want to always win or always want to be the top person. And so I wonder recognition, right? And when we're not getting recognized, we get frustrated. And from paga nama siya ubempera, kusiya ubiro chalichi. Fajodi ai, abusa, sana ndiangani lero. That's just wanting to be recognized at each and every angle. Competitiveness starts at an early age. I know banoba maskula asinta, right? Agumadi, nukumbaga gaiti standard one. But again, that's the spirit of competitiveness. And it starts at an early age where children fight over toys, fight when they haven't won a game. I think you've seen when there are do-overs in games where you say that, amena ambe kuchinya awina. Then you say, iyai. Because you are competing. It's not unique to children. Even in the World Cup, you can actually see the spirit of competition on display. Ena, timu ya uluza, ama kuya, 1 week, for your timu ya inadani, inaluza. Spirit of competition. But competitiveness is basically an expression of selfishness. The urge to win above all else. As long as we come out on top. As a church, as believers, as Christians, we are encouraged to do one's best and not necessarily to be the best. In our work, we are to work heartily, as we see in Colossians 3:23. But of course, our best is not the same for everyone. Some have been blessed with greater skills, and others intelligence, others spiritual giftedness. Kumari ese alinimpatso. And of course, always seeking to do our best should be motivated by a desire to glorify God, not win recognition for yourself. The recognition may come, but it should not be our primary motivation. Last but not least, we can look at controlling nature of people, controllingness as a sin. So envy, jealousy, and competitiveness may all be grouped under one word, rivalry. Instead of viewing each other as fellow workers or fellow members of the body of Christ, we can easily slip into an attitude of viewing each other as rivals when we are competing against each other. There's one subtle sin that we may include in this group. That is the sin of seeking to control others to our advantage, to get what we want. So, mwina sumu udziwa kumabamba juu, agarandila salary, ama agabata amaya juu. Amaya juu amataba ya kubaba shobu, awatabila transporti, pena so amatabila yoje, right? Then amaya juu amasunga ndrama zose. That's an example of controlling behavior. On the flip side, we've already given an example of amuna mene safu na gaza wa ende, ulatuguge, ulabito kajezanda azmaya nzao, because they are controlling. So those are very practical examples that we experience on a day-to-day on how negative one's controlling nature can be. So controlling people want things their way. It's my way or the highway. They want to dominate. They keep score. They'll tell you, unabanga is because they are controlling. They always speak negatively about others. They interrogate you about where you go or who you see, and this is more in a relationship. Amabuya, mugangu watanzi kodano, ni mafuna ndikajeze kunda kuti muona kuti auzani pita niko mayanga nakumbale. They exaggerate your flaws, never acknowledging you when you do something right. They become irrationally angry if you don't answer the phone. And again, this is more towards relationships. Muntu wangu misa kwa emoji, akango banga iteni kwa umarani. So umayanka ifajani. Ndika imba, isa lalini ndiko mozi kalawa yanka. They make demeaning jokes about you in front of other people. So uweanga nila base. They criticize you, the way you dress, the way you speak. They make you feel unworthy. They think that they are God's gift to man, not knowing that Christ is God's gift to man. So after being reminded about all this, how do we move on from here? Here are several suggestions on how we can break free from this cycle. We do it by shifting our focus from comparison to contentment. So the first one is watch your social media. So that's a statement that is very loaded. God warned Cain in the Bible, and he said sin is crouching at the door. But I believe today sin is in our hands with these mobile devices. We sin faster than ever before. Karigale kuti munthu ubange gosipi, umajito kwelela basi, ubida ntauni, time ya kulibea direct ya 25, eh? Ubida ntauni, wakwelea 25, idute uka nengo, kuruka bange gosipi. Panopa, ungo lusa phone, ntayo mwe warani, wabanga gossip. That's the speed with which we are sinning. Felix, tatseka jitse kotorele mafoni, mfuna tuone odan tu. Agambia na zotan. So part of the battle with envy, jealousy, competitiveness, and controllingness is protecting our minds from what we consume. Social media is a very dangerous place where envy is thriving. Have you ever thought about your post and how others will perceive it? We are living in a world that the Bible had forewarned us about, where people are lovers of self. Stop keeping up with the Kardashians. How many keep up with the Kardashians? Okay, don't show your hands. You barely are keeping up with God's word. Why are you wasting your time on the Kardashians? We invest a lot of time in useless activities instead of seeking ye first the kingdom of God. We seek to outdo each other in wanting people to see how good we have it. We put our lives out there for people to see what we have achieved, as if we have no creator who died for us. Instead, we ought to outdo each other in honor, as God's word commands us to do. We are not humble. We drive our friends to envy, and we should take responsibility for that and change. So watch what you watch. Watch what you post. Watch what you like. Watch how you are spending your time. Then the second point is to recognize and confess. As I have already stated, envy is one sin that we seldom think about and we seldom bring to the Lord in prayer to confess as a sin. So let's start recognizing that pattern of us being envious or being jealous so that we can always confess and make amends, so we walk in an upright manner as the word of God commands us to do. Then learn to celebrate with others. The greatest antidote to envy is to actively pray for the blessing of the person you are tempted to envy. So again, mungaona kuti munthu uyu ndima musilira, mukayamba kumupempherera kuti Mungu azimudalitsa. Inevitably, it's next to impossible for you kuti mukaine sanje. Because by doing so, God is dealing with you while God is working on the next person. So celebrate their victory as if it were your own. So kupuzira kusangala ifajodi zathu zarani zamuyendela. Last Sunday we had the family meeting, and part of what we recited in the covenant is to bear with one another in burdens as well as rejoicing with those that rejoice. So let that become our walk. We should celebrate in truthfulness with those that are celebrating. Then again, trust God with your unique story. 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells us that love does not envy. When you understand that everything you have is by God's grace, you realize that you aren't in competition with anyone else. God's blessings on someone else's life does not diminish the grace available for yours. Instead of wishing for their life, thank God for the unique path, gifts, and His timing. Sometimes we are so much in a hurry to not trust God with our own trajectory or our own path. And it's very important for us to reflect and be reminded that tosefe sitingakhale ofanana. Umeti maona ngani mwai wawuyu, si mwai watu. And out of that, we should be content with what God has blessed us with. So let us guard our hearts and choose the path of gratitude, trusting the Lord will provide exactly what we need when we need it. I just want to give a quick checklist on how you can check against envy, jealousy, controllingness, as well as competitiveness. So let's start by refusing to celebrate another person's success. So, and immediately you feel muntu mako kuti izizi siningasangalale nazo, faza nchidikira muntu wina. You should check yourself because you are envious. Being unhappy when others have success, again, similar. Constantly downplaying or diminishing their success. So let's say wina wake wagula katoyota paswet. Congratulations, congratulations, come and kapaso. That is downplaying or diminishing someone else's success. So you must always understand that. I was giving an example kublanta zana tili we meeting. I think there was a lady that walked past, and then somebody said, "Eh, adao, nkaza mineo." Then now zoda abana malawita, are salin number one yagi. So you have no right to judge somebody's number one. So similarly, pasoyo the number one yai yeyo. Na iso kagaiga you envy me one number one yagi ndimene yoyo. If your ambition is to get something bigger or better, that is your journey. So be able to distinguish between the two. When you're finding joy when other people are experiencing setbacks or failure. Nalina gale elia oni, kuditi ndike na kake mulitima matumu, kamene kama sangala, wini waleza kautisizi umende, right? Good examples is, tili kuskulu, munda akaudime bia amatamanga, nde wagwa. Antuti matima kuwa, hey, sangala, right? Kuti muntu wagwa. Kamene kuku, ndivuto limene lolo. Then frequently scrutinizing or judging what other people are doing. Yeah. So you are, I know Pastor Newton is always encouraging us to be in each other's lives, but don't be in my life that way. Because that's not the right way to be in somebody's life. You're not supposed to be, and we're talking about being judgmental. Yeah? Mwabita kunyumba kwanzanu, mwakala mampando, yo mibanda ya mafuna yale zidoiro, inusumu yale zidoiro. Si kwanu. Because that's you being judgmental. Issues of preference. Becoming upset when other people compliment other people's hard work. So which has amplified something, then you become upset because somebody has been complimented. Again, watch that because it means you're on that slippery slope. Please, ladies, pay attention. Gossiping, or men too, and spreading rumors or false information about other people. Human beings are very amazing. Because you can gossip or create a rumor, even for muntorisu munagumani nae. Just creating something malicious to damage them. So again, when you are talking about other people, analyze why you're talking about them. I always say, gadugambiana ngani ya muntu, and our intention is not to help. Let's not talk about it. But if we are discussing about somebody's misfortune because we want to help or we want to intervene, then that is a positive discussion. Otherwise, the rest is gossip. So where are you going with this? Because they better define their story before they tell you what they want to tell you. Then we're offering fake compliments. This one I struggle with. Because, for example, as a professional, let's say there's another architect, they design something, and I personally think it's not something, then everybody is complimenting them, and I'm thinking, should I go with the crowd or should I be truthful? That one I personally struggle with. And I think everybody, and this is not out of being malicious per se, but sometimes we offer fake compliments because we are envious, eh? Where we say, so again, watch out for that. Then there's attempting to copy or compete with another person. Watch out for that. That's very straightforward. And then insecurity and controlling tendencies in relationships. Manually words. Watch out for that. I think there's another set at the back. Eh? Watch out for that. So I like how Jerry Bridges concludes this chapter. He writes, don't be like that. Don't go through life harboring envy or jealousy or always having to win or get your way. Remember, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Don't place yourself in the position to be opposed by God. When the noise of envy, jealousy, competitiveness, and controllingness fills our minds, we don't see God's goodness. We don't see God's provision. We challenge God's sovereignty. Again, I ask, when was the last time you confessed about envy? And I remind you, it's a seldom confessed sin. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, first and foremost, would like to confess to you our lack of repentance of the sins of envy, jealousy, competitiveness, and controllingness. Father, thank you for reminding us this morning of how comfortable and familiar we've grown to these sins. Give us strength to fight them from now on and to follow and dwell in your word as a reminder. We make this our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I know there are no questions. Or are they? For control.
My question would be on what if in the church I see somebody who's growing spiritually and I desire that for myself? How do I distinguish between a healthy desire to grow versus envy? Because you see them every Sunday and you're like, I wish I could grow and be like that person. How do you balance that where it doesn't become, I'm envious of their faith or their spiritual growth, to I want to be like that. I look up. How do you balance that?
All right, let me attempt. I believe that if you indeed desire to grow in the church, first and foremost, you won't be envious because you would want to associate with people who are growing so you can grow. I think ultimately what it means is you would want to do something about it. So it's either you're lying to yourself or you're being truthful. And if you're being truthful, your actions are going to be aligned towards things that will grow you. So be it associating with that brother or chatting to the brother to find a way of them discipling you. It will be positive, positive, positive. I think envying someone would be, Brother Jede is doing well in church. That's envy at play. But a desire for you to want to grow, I think it will yield positive results. And possibly it's an encouragement for you to work hard to read more of the Bible, but it's made more in the church to grow as one would desire. I think that's how I would put it. Any other questions?
So my question is, as Malawians, it seems like this is just something we struggle with in general. Would you share with us why is this problem of envy and jealousy so common to us as Malawians? Maybe compared to other places. Why do we struggle with this?
Brother TK, you got the question? With envy. I don't know if you want to help me. I actually reflected on that, it being in our national anthem, and I remember the late Bingu Amtarika mentioned in one of his, I think he was coming from Perth, and he was addressing the journalists, and he said, "Defense Sanje Wambiri, we favor Antobwela, so much so that in God's provision it was put in our national anthem, that we may be guarded from that." We possibly could be the only national anthem in the world that has envy mentioned in it. So yes, indeed, I think God knew we struggle with this severely and placed it upon the one who authored the national anthem to make sure it's in there. Poverty could be one reason, but I would call that a flimsy excuse, because I used to give an example of my grandmother when she was alive. And I'm talking now in terms of Muntuanti Mawabwin, right? So at the point I was working and I visited my grandmother, every time ndikabidokabanga visit amandipasa something, either it's a chicken. I remember one time anandipasa mazira, but because she had no tray, atengambale kuika moufa ndikwaika mazira jambene kuti asasweke when I'm driving back to town. But I'm just trying to highlight that heart of, in as much as I had possibly more money than she did at that point, she still wanted to give me something, and she would give me every little thing that she could. Why I'm drawing that in relation to poverty is sometimes we use poverty as an excuse to be envious. But it's a sin issue, it's a heart issue in its own right. So let's not hide behind poverty, because even the rich are envious. In fact, people who commission other people to go kill other people, in other words, you're paying someone to go kill someone, it means you have money. And if you have money, you're killing somebody out of what? Malicious intention. You're envious. So we cannot hide behind poverty to say poverty is what drives us as a nation to be envious. But I think reflecting upon what we Malawians profess to be, Timakwondo, we are a God-fearing nation, I believe we are very far from the truth. Because in one moment we are praying and confessing we are a God-fearing nation, the next moment, my NPO is contrary to what a God-fearing nation would look like. So we are very far from the truth. In fact, I get offended when people say we're a God-fearing nation, because I think we are completely the opposite. So ultimately, we need Jesus. That's the answer I can give. I think there was another question on this side.
TK was to add.
Yes. Oh, TK was to add. Yes, please.
I was just trying to wonder, the question is this, that we are more, it's true that in our context, in Malawi, we say we have this problem of anger. I remember the former president, Kakini Mwuzi, a Malawi Kaduka, used to mention this a lot. So I don't know whether we are saying we are more into this than others. That one possibly might be debatable, but it is amplified possibly because of it is in our national habit and our leaders talk about it. But of course, if we have traveled elsewhere, we might think that we are worse than others. Other than to rest in the fact that we are saved, we need Jesus to save us. It might just be a manifestation which is different from elsewhere than the way we experience it because of the poverty, as you have mentioned. But it doesn't mean that in the UK or in Australia, people are less envious than we are in Malawi.
True.
Yeah, so I think that's the goal.
Or maybe a different question would be, what aspects of our culture actually amplify sense? So maybe we can take it out from there and then
I would argue that our culture is actually, in its original form, if we take away the bad things, was actually more nurturing, more sharing, more Christian-like in terms of a lifestyle compared to being envious. Because I remember back in the day, ukakauri wabangazola gigawa azawa mayago amata utsina. And it would not be an issue. Now you can't do that anymore because Western culture has come to interfere with our culture. Yeah. But back in the day, kulelana kumakhala, I'm just trying to amplify kulelana, kuti you would not see mwana wanzako akupanga zolakwika, and then kungomusiya kuti ii akhale. We had a more nurturing type of sharing, which would then simmer down envy. But right now, because aliyese akupanga zake, aliyese they are their own people, then envy grows, because the sense of ownership is not, for lack of a better expression, collective. It's more narrowed down to individuals. Timagambe and Julia that day, kunali maliro kwa neighbor. A neighbor was said, there was no tenga, but that's what modern life has become. Yeah? Where if you go to South Africa, if you're not invited, you will not go to a funeral. My neighbors, Amata Olimba WhatsApp group, guys, my wife has passed away. We offer condolences. If they don't say, Amenemuni Nintawi Beran, you'll not show up. So again, Western culture, but debate for another day. We can pack that one day.
My question is, how can you be helpful without being judgmental?
I think it takes training. That's how I would begin. Because I'm comparing with myself. In my earlier days as a believer, how I used to handle things or react to things is different from possibly now. Simply because over time I've gotten accustomed to certain things and possibly trained in certain things. Now, being judgmental is a holier than thou attitude. Yeah, but if you understand that we have all fallen short of God's glory, you are more sympathetic. Your attitude is more restorative. And you follow the word better, because ultimately what you're trying to do is win the brother or the sister over. So I think the approach will change. So if you are still being judgmental and you're cautious about it, judgmental would then mean, let's say a friend comes or a church member comes to confide in you and say, sister, I'm struggling with alcohol abuse, for example. Yeah? Judgmental response would be, Bibles means I'm a letter. Even then, are you sure you're truly saved? That's being judgmental. But many, if you're going to help the person, you'd be more a bit more receptive and you'd say, sit down, let's pray together. How are you experiencing this? So that you then understand what is going on in that person's life. And then you say, okay, so men do one era, do one and in the trigger, in the trigger, in the trigger. Is there a way or salary galoa? Mzim to mizira gain chemalana who swung in. Now, see, that could be a trigger, salary gangoloa, ba salary aloa. They would be kadumpama speaker. But again, it's an issue that one has to cultivate over time. I think there's another question here. Yes.
So I'm impressed. Where you notice that that thing isn't as good as the owner thinks it is, do you just stay quiet and say, okay,
yes,
I don't care? Or do you say, honestly, I don't think this seems good? How do you balance?
I stay quiet, and possibly that's the coward's way. But again, you're on a WhatsApp group, Palant 1000. I mean, where do you even start to say, Jonas? So instead of wouldn't go join a band wagon, dingo dina now would he, hey, I'm a eater. I just keep quiet. So let them judge me for not making a comment on that particular point, but I'd rather stay quiet than lie and just go with the flow, because everybody is agreeing to say, chintujabu no jisari, chintujabu. Yeah. One challenge for Brother Blessings and team. Have you ever thought of evangelizing to State House? All right, I think we can close there. Thank you very much.